I'm back. Hey, you thought you could get rid of me. Not that easy. No way, no how. I've been off doing some things with family, and then I got back for a week, and then I had to go do some training to learn how to be a church coach and to help churches become healthy versions of themselves. And so my time of travel, pray to the Lord, is over, and I get to be here home with you, my family. And so I'm glad to be back and to have you here with us in this beautiful cathedral that God has given us. I say that we have the best stained glass window in America. You know, you get to look out and see that and just see how God's creation is just filled with His wonder. And I hope that you are just struck by the awesomeness of God as you worship out here and as you hear the birds and as you feel the gentle breeze. May it just remind you that God is alive, He is a creator God, and He invites us into a relationship with Him. Isn't that good news? Isn't that just awesome to know that? We've been in this series where we've been talking about telling the truth. And what I want to do is just kind of expound a little bit on it, but I want to take the tactic of talking about excuses. In the book of Exodus, you'll remember God calls Moses from inside the burning bush, and He begins to call Moses into ministry, doesn't He? He's like, Moses, I've got a job for you. I need to do this. I need to do that. You're my man. I'm going to choose you. And what does the Bible say that Moses does with that call? He goes right into backing up, doesn't he? Who am I that I should go? What am I supposed to say? Litany of excuse after excuse after excuse Moses offers God as to why he shouldn't go, why he's not the one. He's like, God, I can't speak. How in the world am I supposed to go? And so I think Moses is a Methodist, actually. And so, you know, he just seems to have it all just ready and all of the excuses just able to throw them out so quickly and so easily. I was in a small church in Lexington while I was in seminary, and one Sunday the pastor spoke about excuses. And he gave this definition of an excuse that has just grabbed my heart and won't let me go. He said, and I quote, "An excuse is a lie wrapped in the skin of a reason." Think about the excuses that you've told to get out of something, or when you've been caught doing something, the excuses that you give trying to get out of it. More times than not, have you found it to be that your excuse is a lie wrapped in the skin of a reason? I know it has been for me. Why do I not have my homework? The dog ate it, you know? It's just a flat-out lie. Or the book was with my dad in the car, and he took the car to work, and may or may not have been somewhat of the truth, but it sure seemed convenient. Or how about this? The check is in the... Oh, you've heard that one. Oh, wait a minute. Anybody here want to confess to using that one? Or another one that I like to use with my wife. She'll say, I've got this project I want to do in our backyard. And I say to her, I don't know how to do that. Which is kind of a truth, but it's not that I couldn't learn how to do that. It's a lie wrapped in the skin of a reason. You've been there, you've done that. You know, what's concerning to me is a lot of times that's what happens even in our relationship with God. Ouch. We try to sell the King of Kings, the God of all knowledge, on a lie wrapped in the skin of a reason so often. And when that happens, it breaks down our relationship with God, doesn't it? In this series where we're talking about telling the truth, I think we need to come to a place where we can tell the truth to God and stop making excuses. I want to give you just a handful of excuses that sometimes we use when it comes to our faith journey. And if it applies to you, take this not as a backhand or some kind of punishment or something that I'm not trying to beat you down. I just want to encourage you, and if these things apply, then maybe you can kind of take some corrective action so that it doesn't continue to hinder your relationship with God. One of the first excuses I'd like to talk about is witnessing. We all know that there are many, many people far from God, don't we? I mean, you just walk to Walmart and you can see there are many people far from God. They're the ones that take the 15 to 20 items and get in the 10-item lane. All right, you ever had that issue with somebody? No, there are many examples of people that are far from God. You just look, this world is filled with brokenness. It's filled with people that don't know the saving power of Jesus Christ. They don't realize, and they've not come to own the peace that He has to give us. And so we know what they need, don't we? And a lot of times we'll see that and we want to do something. We want to get them by the hand and help them come to know Jesus and kind of help them to link up with Him. So maybe we spend some time and we build a relationship with them, or we make friends with them, or after a while we begin to open up our lives and tell them what Christ has meant to us. That's our hope. That's our desire. But then this is where excuses begin. Because sometimes when we begin to get out of the comfort zone, when we start to get into that area of, ooh, this is scary, I've got to get out of my comfort zone, then we begin to think about, well, I'm really not smart enough to share my faith. Or I don't know enough about the Bible. Or even worse, God, you'd never use somebody like me to share your story, would you? You know, we go on to say, you know, if they ask me a difficult question, I couldn't answer them. And then I'll feel stupid, and I don't want to feel stupid, and they're probably not going to respond to me anyway, so why even waste my time? You ever done that? You just rationalize yourself right out of sharing your story or sharing the gospel story. You know people at work. You know people in your neighborhood. Maybe your friends or your family. And something inside of you says, share with them. Share the hope of glory that you have. Because that's obeying Scripture. God tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He says, I want you to be ready to give an account for the hope that you have in you. But then you talk yourself out of it. You listen to the lie wrapped in the skin of a reason, and you say, I'm not a clergy, I'm not a pastor, I don't know really how to do this, or I've not been seminary trained, or I don't know the Bible well enough, or I may say the wrong thing and lead them down the wrong path. Excuses, excuses, excuses. God, I can't do it. Send someone else. And then before you know it, you've talked yourself out of reaching somebody who may have responded to your approach and to your style by believing the lies, or that we're not good enough, or that God in you is not good enough. We just don't tell the story. And therefore, we're not able to plant the seeds or do a little bit of watering or maybe harvest the fruit that God's been working on. Can I just tell you the truth this morning? You are enough. God in you is enough. And it doesn't matter if you don't know all of the answers. It's okay to say, you know what? I don't know that. That's a good question, or that's a good point. I'll need to go, and I'll just need to think about that and pray about that. And I'll find somebody that I think can answer that question, and I'll get back with you. It's okay to do that. Because God needs somebody exactly like you, your age, your personality, your temperament, your background, your level of Christian understanding, so that He can bridge the gap into another heart. Because you may be the only person that someone will listen to. Not to pour guilt on you, but to realize that you have a special position. God has created you in such a way that you can tell your story. You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to have is a relationship with Jesus and know that He is the answer. That's the main thing. So, no more excuses. The second excuse that we tend to believe, or that we tend to make up and trying to convince ourselves, is about our quiet time.
if I were to go around and to ask, how many of you have a quality quiet time? I wonder how many of you would raise your hands and be all excited. You see, because God has told us, I want you to put my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. The Bible tells us that his word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our steps, or vice versa. Those of you Bible scholars that know that, you know I just messed up the order, but it's okay. It's okay. The preacher even can sometimes mess up. The Bible tells us that God wants us to study to show ourselves approved. And so sometimes what we'll do is we'll psych ourselves out about our quiet time. God, you know, I'm struggling because it's confusing to me. I don't understand the Bible very well, and so I don't get much out of it. And what do we do? Excuses. Excuses, excuses, to justify why we're not having that time in the Word so that God's Word can get into us and that we can live into it. Can I just be honest with you? If you'll just open up the Bible and read it, there is power there that is unleashed by the Holy Spirit. You can't help but be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you read God's word, and find out how worthy he is. You believe the lie that you can't do it, but let me tell you, you can't afford not to do it. Get in the word and allow God's spirit to quicken things. Listen, even if you just read Proverbs, one proverb per day, it's going to improve your life dramatically. But don't just limit yourself to the Proverbs. I love the fact that the Psalms tell us that it's okay to have real emotion and to experience God on various and sundry levels. I love reading the Gospels and finding out the life that Jesus lived so that I might go and do likewise. It's enough with the excuses. Amen? Lord, I want to be in your word because I want to be just like you. And if we're going to be like him, we need to know how he is and what he believes and what he believes for us and the standard that he set for us. And so no more excuses there. You watch what God does. He'll bless you and he'll inspire you and you will grow and mature into his likeness. So we don't want to be filled with excuses anymore about witnessing. We don't want to be filled with excuses and lie to God anymore about why we're not in the Word of God growing and learning about him. But we also need to stop with the excuses about worship. Like, my worship probably doesn't move the heart of God. So why does God want to hear me sing? Or why does God want me to pray? Or why does God want me to come into a time where I am just worshiping him? So a lot of times we'll just withhold worship from God because we don't think it matters much. We don't think that it stirs his heart. You know, I think our lives would be different if we just took some time every day and worshiped God. Where we just stopped in the midst of the day and we just would give acknowledgement to who God is and how wonderful he is and how he's blessed us and just thank him for being God and for blessing us. Maybe just tell him, what a wonderful God you are. And I just wanted to stop this moment, God, and just tell you. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The Bible tells us that we are to worship. There's an old hymn that says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. You see, telling God that he's the potter says to him that, God, you didn't make a mistake when you created me. When you formed me within my mother's womb, you did all the right stuff. And the fact that I'm the clay says that God has molded me and made me in order to use me for his kingdom work. But again, we make excuses, don't we? I'm not gifted enough, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have the right personality. I don't have as high as an IQ as I should have. And all these lies tell God that he made a mistake when he formed us, when he fashioned us. You know, the truth is, sovereign God doesn't make mistakes, and he's made you for a purpose. And one of those purposes is to worship him for eternity. He wanted somebody just like you, who looks like you and talks like you, that has your personality and your smile, that can bring just a special blessing to his heart. He wanted somebody to have your exact spiritual gift, your heart, your passion, your background, so that he could use you to worship in the world, which is your way of serving him. So we've got to stop lying about that. Some of you have already put yourself out to pasture. God can't use me anymore. I'm way too old. Or I'm retired. Can I tell you? It's a lie wrapped in the skin of a reason. It's an excuse. You know, I think maybe it would be good for some of us today to just pray a prayer of surrender, a simple prayer. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Once again, I'm reminded that I am the clay and that you are the potter. Mold me and make me and fashion me after a person after your own heart. Enough with the excuses about worship. Then a fourth excuse that we often tell ourselves revolves around community. We know what it says in Hebrews, that we are not to forsake the meeting or the assembling of ourselves together. We realize that just before Jesus died, what was the main prayer he prayed? Father, I pray that my followers would become one, even as you and I are one, and that they would experience community in its deepest form. Some of you are desperately lonely out there. You want friendships, you want connections, but then you kind of sell yourself short. And you begin to make excuses why you're not joining in with this body of believers here at Worship at the Water. Or you make excuses as to why you've not joined a small group. Some of you have said this. Well, I'd go, but I don't think anyone would want to be friends with me. If I move toward them, toward relationship, what happens if they reject me? And so I'll just spare myself that trouble or that heartache. If people really knew the real me, they would run away. You ever found yourself shirking and running away from intimacy and connection and community because of fear from past experiences in your life? And so we impose this self-imposed state of isolation. We believe the lies that no one would like us or be willing to share with us in community. Excuses, excuses, excuses. So many people wind up living lives of isolation that they don't have to. They come for an hour out of their week. They enjoy what goes on. They seem like this is a place that has some really nice people. But then they take off not to connect and not to be part of community, and that breaks the heart of God. God said it's not good for humanity to be alone. What he's saying there is we were made for relationships. We are made for community. I'm amazed at how many times in Scripture it talks about one another. We are to love one another, to forgive one another, to bear one another's burdens. If you look at all of those one another texts, you realize that God is not interested in solo, lone ranger Christians. He wants us to be in community with one another. Can I tell you something? If you believe the lie about not being in a small group because of fear, or that no one will like you, or no one will want you, or that you will be rejected, you are preventing a blessing in some group at this point. Because there's a group here that needs you, a person just like you, to be in their group so that they can be fully formed and they can have all that they need in order to be the body of Christ. Listen, someone just like you needs to reach out and form a group with others in community so that when you find this, you'll never again want to go at it alone. Enough with the excuses, body of Christ. We were made for each other. We were made for worship. We were made in order to live in the Word and for God's Word to live in us. We were made to witness and to share the message of God's love. Enough with the excuses. And then fifth, the excuses we make about serving. How many of you have said, well, I would do that project with the church, but I'm just so busy, I can't find the time, or I have really nothing to offer. Can I tell you about one of my mission trips? Maybe I've told this story, I'm not sure. But I used to do short-term mission trips with volunteers from America, and the field that I kind of specialized in was receiving teams and taking teams to Mexico. And there were a couple of teams that the churches recruited and paid for persons with special needs to go on the trip. And the first time I had that happen, I thought, ooh, this is going to be tough. I don't know what they're going to be able to do to make this a fulfilling time. And honestly, I'll just confess, I thought this might be a distraction for our team. That was until I met this little girl, and I'm going to call her Beautiful. It's not her real name, but that's what she became to me. Beautiful was this girl that had Down's syndrome, and she was probably 30, but she had the mindset and the mentality of probably a 15-year-old. And Beautiful was just that. She was beautiful. She was always happy, always upbeat, and was a great encouragement to our team. Through the week, she had difficulty on the construction site because she just didn't have the coordination that she needed, and she stumbled and fell a lot. But she was always upbeat and just seemed to be a mascot for the team. And I'm all week long, I'm like, God, help her to get plugged in. Help her to find something that she can do that can affirm her. And I kept praying, and nothing. There were plenty of excuses that she could have made for not being on that trip. But then came the day when we went to an orphanage. When we went to the orphanage, all of the kids were just so excited because they were going to get to play with the kids. We were going to put on a vacation Bible school. We were going to get to play with the babies. I mean, it's exciting. It's a wonderful day. And when we went, again, I thought, phew, this is going to be tough. How are the kids going to treat her? Are they going to try to run away from her? Are they going to shun her? And so I watched, and all of our team went for the beautiful kids. Every one of them, they went to those kids that were able to run and laugh and jump and play. And there was one baby who was probably 2 years old. It was toddling, and it had been given a sucker. And the sucker, you know, babies and suckers drool, and then they crawl on the ground. And this baby had sticky sucker juice all over its face and its hands, and it had been crawling, and the floor hadn't been swept, and so there was dirt, and there was hair on the baby's arms and hands and face, and the baby had a head cold, and so it was just snotty and sticky and messy and hairy and dirty, and nobody went to that baby. It was just kind of off on its own. You know who noticed that baby? Beautiful. Beautiful realized that, hey, here was one that seemed to be outside everybody else's attention span, outside of everybody else's willingness to love. And you know what she did? She went over and she picked up that baby and walked it around, and she would pick it up and put it on her knee, and she would smother that snotty, sticky, hairy, messy face with kisses. And that's when God said to me, you know who my most valuable player on this team is, Steve? Oh, it's not you for leading the team, and it's not the ones that went over and took care of the pretty babies. No, my MVP, the one that gets the servant award, is beautiful because she took the one that was least and lost and left out, and she bounced that baby, and she made over that baby, and she gave that baby just what that baby needed, love, unconditional love. Jesus says this, if you really want to be filled up with my spirit and satisfied, then learn to serve others. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you go to work or you come to church, serve. If you're in your community, if you're in your neighborhood, serve others. I love the way the culture at Chick-fil-A is oriented. A lot of times you'll go and they will ask you, how may I serve you? And when they finish, it was a pleasure to serve you. Church, that ought to be in our vocabulary. That ought to be the watchword that we give. Not, I'm too busy. Not, I don't have time. Not that I don't have the gifts. Not that I have too clean of a shirt to mess with sticky, snotty kids. It ought to be, how can I demonstrate the love of Christ to you? Because the scripture says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it as unto the Lord. It's time to finish with the excuses. Maybe we need to take a big faith gamble and share our faith this week. Maybe we need to start believing the word of God instead of just pretending like we don't understand it. Maybe we need to say, I'm going to serve God wherever he sends me and however he leads me, and I'm going to use my spiritual gifts to serve my church, my family, the poor, my friends. I'm going to check in, and I'm going to see what can be done because I realize that I can be the hands and the feet and the encouragement of Christ to a broken and hurting world. I would encourage you, serve before you leave here today. Whether it's holding a door open or if you're walking down the beach and you see trash, pick it up. It's not somebody else's job. It's not somebody else's duty. We can serve the Lord with glad and sincere hearts. Maybe today you see somebody that just looks down that needs a compliment. Or maybe you know somebody that could just really use a hug. Service doesn't have to be this big, extravagant thing. It's just recognizing a need and being willing to fill it with the love of Christ in that moment. Excuses. We could go on all morning. We could talk about the excuses of why we don't forgive. We could talk about the excuses of why we don't love. We could talk about the excuses, yada, yada, yada. Do you get it? Do you understand what we're talking about? There are a lot of things that we are not doing because we're making up lies and putting them into the skin of a reason, even in our relationship with a most holy God. Some of you would never go to a church because I don't dress right, I don't act right, and so I can't go to church. You've made excuses, haven't you? That's why we created this opportunity, because anybody can come to a bar. Anybody can come to this place, and hopefully you won't feel like, okay, well, if I walk through the door of the bar, the building's going to fall down. We're trying to eliminate excuses, aren't we? We want you to realize it's okay to come in here messed up because that's the condition we're all in. We're not trying to take a shower and then come to God and be clean. No. We're in here saying we're on a journey together and we're done with excuses. We just want to live the truth and we want to accept the truth and we want to be embraced by the truth that has already embraced us. So today, my encouragement, my exhortation to you is this. Put the excuses away and let's get real with God. And once we get real with God, watch out. Because then God gets really real. Not to us, because he's already real to us. God's going to be able to be real through us. And we'll change the world. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the relationship we have. We thank you for opportunities that we have to share. Lord, forgive us for making excuses and why we don't go and why we don't read and why we don't serve and the myriad of other things, God, that we're guilty of. We confess it this morning. We ask that you would forgive us. We're thankful for your word that says, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. God, that's what we want today, is a fresh new start. And then we ask for your Holy Spirit to fill this place, to give us the ability and the power to go out here and live transformed lives. We love you today, Jesus. Thank you for these moments. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.